Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
To talk about, we have to start before the show. Can't wait to get at it. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Scott Morris, and Doug McLean. Hockey Central, you're listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, watching on Sportsnet and the NHL Network. As we, well, I guess it's 2 days ago, the Hall of Fame inductees announced the NHL draft and some moves from this past weekend and the discussion period. And we'll find out the reality on Friday as far as any free agency and trades go. First of all, though, we've wondered about an offer sheet. Seth Jones was one of those guys that was viewed to be a target for an offer sheet. Six-year contract, $32.4 million to stay with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, it's always interesting when you say, okay, offer sheet, and then you have a look at who can actually do it.
It's a small crowd.
Yeah, because of draft picks that have been given away and so on, and for what the criteria is. So it limits the number of teams, you know, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk. Boston may do something with a Trouba. Boston may do something with a Seth Jones. Lots of teams are kicking tires on Seth Jones as to whether they could come up with something. Then when you say, okay, well, just a minute, a lot of teams aren't even eligible because they don't have the pick. So, hey, I think it's a fair deal. I looked, Columbus are $46,000 now below the salary cap for their team. I just saw Chris Johnson had tweeted out, you know, maybe they're ripe for some buyouts. I guess they're ripe for some buyouts. When you look at Tootin and Hartnell and Dubinsky and Foligno and Clarkson, I mean, they got some contracts, Hartnell, that they've got to try to figure out what they're going to do to give them a little flexibility here.
Well, and as Doug said, with the offer sheets, you've got to meet the criteria. That shortens the field, and typically they get matched.
Yeah.
So it's a futile exercise unless you really want to put the screws to another team, and that's not necessarily good business.
So when you look at the number at whatever, 5.4 roughly, yeah. To me, you know, you get the 6 years. I would think that's a reasonable deal. I think Columbus did a good job getting this deal done. He was the prize guy that could have been out there. He and a Trouba, and not like Scott said, not a. I mean, offer sheet lessens the work for the GM because you just match.
Mm-hmm. Now, to you, the comparables that we've got here, excuse me, Leddy, 7 years, 5.5. Ekman-Larsson, 6 years, 5.5. Riley, 6 years, 5. Hamilton, 6 years, 5.75. Goligoski just signed, 6 years, 5.4. He fits in there, don't you think?
I think he fits in better than a few of them.
Yeah.
Better than a few of them for me. And, you know, Letty's sort of a little different situation because you're picking up a lot of UFA years on that one. Ekman-Larsson, I mean, they're all a little bit older, so they're getting more UFA years in that mix. So they're not really comparables. Morgan Riley would be close, and Hamilton would be a close one, you know, as far as reasonable comparables for me.
And Columbus had no choice to get this done for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the cost that was incurred to get him, what they gave up to get him. And then you've got to build around this guy on your back end.
And
so you find a way to get rid of a contract.
They absolutely had no chance not to get this done because of what's going on within the market. I mean, how it ended for them last year. I mean, so much promise for last year. And then to have the season go the way it went. Then you go to the draft, and all of a sudden, Bobrovsky's name's out there, Foligno's name's out there, all their top guys' names are out there. The perception in the market is they've got to get this turned around and fast. They cannot have another year like they had last year, this management team. They cannot.
And Nashville looking to talk to Ryan Johansson about getting his contract done, extending it. So Seth Jones, 6 years, $32.4 million. You know, it's funny, the offer sheet, to me, Connor McDavid would be an interesting one a couple of years down the road. Steven Stamkos would have been an interesting one a couple of years ago. So, Doug, we are, what, less than 48 hours away, almost 48 hours away, and the clock ticking. Everyone's keeping it close to the vest. What are you thinking when the clock strikes 12?
Well, you know, it's really it's a tough one because there's 10 or 11 teams that have kicked tires on it. So,
including Vancouver.
Yeah, and Montreal. And, you know, I sent out the other day, I was told the other day that Detroit really, really want them bad. And I was also told that Buffalo were going to pay. So you got to put
an overpay.
And overpay. So you've got to put those two in the mix. You know, Pegula's an aggressive guy. Timmy Murray's trying to, you know, trying to build his team a little quicker than the typical rebuild. And I don't blame them. They've got the cap space. They got a young nucleus. I don't blame Buffalo for making a big-time run. I don't blame Detroit for a new building making a big-time run. Toronto, you know, is in there. Is there a wild card out there? Is there any chance it could be? Is there any chance an Arizona or somebody like that could jump in? Arizona, I looked this morning, they're $4 million below the floor. $4 million, that's with Dadzouk and Pronger.
I know.
They're $4 million below the floor. Is there any chance a wild card team like that comes out of the blue and takes a run at Stamkos? I understand Stamkos likes it in Scottsdale. I like it in Scottsdale. You know?
You know, I'd heard that months ago. That was a surprise. And again, I don't pretend to know insiders to him, but Detroit and Arizona, which Arizona, for the very reason you're saying, because let's face it, it's money, other things, and he likes it there.
New maybe, building coming.
New building, but it's funny, they're very different. If you like, if it's the weather thing, you know, Detroit's different than Arizona, but just then you got but Buffalo, like you say, and Toronto, but the New York Rangers, others.
Let's not kid ourselves. Stamkos is not going to Arizona for the weather. Stamkos is going. If Stamkos ever made a decision to try to do a wildcard thing, it's because he likes the nucleus there. He likes that Ekman Larson's there leading a good looking blue line with Murphy, Goligoski now. All of a sudden, the makings
of a lot of great prospects, actually.
Max Domi up front and some good looking prospects. So it's not about weather for this kid. The little bit I know of Stamkos, and I've talked to him a few times, and a great family, good people. He wants to win. This guy wants to win.
Then why not stay in Tampa?
Well, I think that the situation in Tampa is a lot more than money. I just think he wants to play center. I think there's, whether people want to admit it or not, there's been conflict there. So he's, and I don't mean not with Stevie Y, but he and the coach likes him on the wing. He does. There's, let's not kid ourselves. I've watched games this year where he wouldn't get on the ice till fourth and fifth shifts of games. Come on. And Cooper's a good coach.
Yeah, I think positioning's a big part of it. And they can't afford to give him the dollars that he will be able to get in other places. And I don't know that necessarily the biggest dollar amount is going to drive him. I think I agree with Doug. I think it's dollars in addition to where he's going to play positionally and where the team itself is positioned in terms of being a contender. I think that's a very big factor at this stage in his career.
Milan Lucic, apparently, some people say, has agreed to terms with Edmonton. Mark Spector is going to join us momentarily. We'll chat with him about that, if he has agreed to terms or not. He certainly was there, along with Jason Demers, and we know that the Edmonton Oilers looking to upgrade the great young talent, nucleus of talent they have there. What about a guy like, you know, Doug Armstrong throws a Kevin Shattenkirk into the mix. And we see a lot of trades happen around here. It's all better than trade deadline in many ways. He seems to have had him out there for a long time and wants maybe a little bit too much back in return.
Well, he's going into the last year of his deal, and you know they obviously feel that they've got a pretty solid blue line, solid defenseman, a guy that would with if you look at what's available in free agency, seriously, boys. Demers, Russell, Hamhuis, Brian Campbell, Lovejoy, Shen, Quincy, Pollock. It's thin. That's as thin a year on the blue line. So I got to believe there's lots of interest in acquiring. You know,
who steps up and pays the price, though?
I wonder
what the price is, but just who steps
up. Well, that's the combination. What's the price and then which team is desperate? Do they wait to see some of the dominoes of seeing who was getting re-signed, where a Goligoski wound up and a Yandel, and then ultimately, you know, Jones re-signing? Maybe it's a domino effect before a trade falls into place. Because you think back to last summer, we did see deals that started to fall July 1st after some players got signed.
See, the other thing is a trade, you know, I sat and had some refreshments with four general managers last week after a function in Ottawa. And to a man, they were sitting there saying, like, $6 million is the number for this group, top group of guys. So when you say, well, maybe I get Shattenkirk in a deal, I can get him on a fair deal, maybe I don't have to pay, you know, I mean, I'm anxious to see, of all these $6 million signings that are going to happen over the next couple of days, how many of them are going to result in buyouts before the 6 years are up? Because, you know, it's gotten to be a joke, buyouts, for me, that teams can buy their way out of these mistakes time and time again. And I don't know how the owners...
Well, you don't fully. I mean, when you had the two compliance buyouts, was different. But right now, you don't. You can't bury them in the minors anymore.
No.
You know,
But it's...
I mean, you look at Philadelphia with Andrew McDonald.
Yeah, but the
situation... Holy mackerel.
Like, how long do owners put up with this?
Well, it's up to them.
Like, seriously.
With their coach or general manager.
When do you say to your GM, like, come on, tough beans. You're the one that signed this guy to this idiotic deal. You know, you got to find a spot for him on your team. What am I supposed to just buy your way out of all your mistakes?
But he gets conflicted because he wants to win.
Yeah, I know. But it's a joke. It's a joke. I'm sorry. The wasted money. I mean, right here in Toronto, they got how many millions sitting on the sideline? You know, everybody sat here last year in this Horton Clarkson deal. I mean, how bad a deal has that turned out for both teams? At least Toronto can afford to put the money on the sideline. But what about having Clarkson on the team in Columbus? It's a disaster for both of them financially.
Well, I can remember after the Dion Phaneuf trade and you were brought on the local station and you said, I'd like to be talking about a trade that's actually a trade instead of a Clarkson deal, a Kessel deal, a Phaneuf deal. And those are all gone. And now, you know, they rid of themselves of those mistakes. But you're right. You look at the hype a couple of years ago. And Dave Nonis was viewed as, that's the way it was. Everybody got excited. Wow. You get David Clarkson, you get David Bolin, you add Bernier, and all of a sudden, that game 7 against the Boston Bruins, which is becoming more and more of a distant memory, turns around.
Well, he was a hero for signing him, Clarkson.
Yeah.
And then he was
easy.
An even bigger hero almost for being able to move the contract.
Right. I know.
Maybe not with the ownership.
Do you think Bernier can be moved?
Yeah, I mean, you
like 1 year at that money, do you think? Like,
well,
you could be
moved if you take back. If somebody gives you $2 million of, you know, I guarantee you could move them to Columbus because they've got five guys there trying to move out of there just for getting rid of bad dollars. I mean, would you trade them for Hartnell? If that's the type of deal it's going to have to be. Bad money for bad money.
Okay, so there's no one legitimately looking at a 1 year deal.
But that doesn't solve a Columbus's problem.
No.
Yeah. Nor Toronto.
Well, it solves it to a degree. They don't have to put $1 million in a backup. You know, it might save them $1 million. You know, can he be moved for a $2 million player? That's a bad contract? Maybe.
Who do you like out there? There's so many other guys we're forgetting because of Steven Stamkos, whether it's Louis Erickson, kind of get David Backes, Kyle Okpozo. I mean, and it's forwards, really. The defensemen really get locked up quickly.
There's some really, like, I look and say, okay, Lucic is going to be interesting, but wheels. Where are the wheels going to be? Okposo's a guy you'd want to be in the money for because he's a tough two-way
guy. So why
guy.
Were they so much sweeter on Casey Cizikas in some ways on the island than Kyle Okpozo? I know Okpozo would want more money than Cizikas.
The $2 or $3 million.
But they gave a...
What did he get? What did...
We got like three something.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
like
it's double the money. You know, Eriksson is a guy that every team would like to have because he's 20 goals in the bank and he plays a two-way game. Vasey is going to be a good. Do the Leafs get Vasey? Do Boston get Vasey? That's going to be a prime pickup for this.
Now, we see it's such a hit and miss thing with those guys coming out of college.
Yeah.
And why do you especially think he's the real deal as far as those guys go?
You know, talking to scouts, they feel he's got a chance to be a really solid two-way guy. You know, people really like this guy. So, you know, hit and miss. Well, you know, there's been a lot of good guys come out too. Boddicker's a guy with his speed and the way the game evolved now. Hans Nielsen in Islanders is a real good pickup.
That's the guy they want to keep. Yeah.
At 32 years of age. You know, so there's some – you know who's maybe the best bargain of all? It's a guy we've sort of talked about a lot over the last number of years. Stepniak. I mean, was there a better guy for his dollars than Lee Stepniak?
No, you're right.
In the last few years? I mean, this is a guy that comes in, he gets you 15 goals or whatever. Cheap, you know, so there's some
typically
values.
You can get him later in the season.
Yeah.
for a pick.
And you got Matt Martin's an interesting guy. He and Stamkos are really, really tight, people are telling me. Are they Do they end up going to the same place? Matt Martin for that fourth line, Stamkos for the first line. So it's going to be some.
But he's apparently looking in the $3 million range. Is that a little rich for fourth line?
Then I guess he's not going with Stamkos.
Well, you know, the other
one I like is David Backes. And yep, it's got to be a fit for a particular team. But I tell you what, we've watched him over the years, but just watch him in the playoffs this year. Just a heart and soul guy. I'd find a spot for him on my team.
I agree. Now, the guy we haven't mentioned at all is Eric Staal. At 31 years of age. At 31 years of age.
People think he's ancient. He's not.
At 31.
I know.
It's hard to believe. I mean, so where does a Staal fit in? Can you get him at a real nice price? I mean, is there any way you could get a Staal at 3.5?
Well, his goaltending mate, Cam Ward.
Don't you think he has to be at that level?
Well,
Cam Ward took the haircut 2 years to stay there in Carolina. Well, talking free agents, we'll get back to Eric Staal, some of the others. But meanwhile, Milan Lucic, front and center, Jason Demers as well, visiting Edmonton and joining Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Mark Spector.
Everybody wants to be in Edmonton now.
Well, they do, because Spector's there. How you doing, Spec?
I beat the rush. I got here 50 years ago.
Been a restricted free agent ever since. Now,
but you've seen cups too.
To sign me.
There's no. By the way, if you don't follow Mark Spector on Twitter, you have to, because he's got the snidest little shots of anybody in the business.
Now that's a mouthful coming from you.
Hey, Spec, Milan Lucic, has he agreed to terms with Edmonton or not?
Well, I would have to say no. If he certainly hasn't signed anything, or at least he's not supposed to have. Listen, you know, any of you guys in that room or any of our listeners, if you were making a decision on where you're going to live and work and play for the next 5 or 6 years, everyone's going to pay him a bunch of money. It's not a money decision. You get the same money in 5 different towns, I'll bet. You're going to wait till the deadline. I think you're going to do your diligence. You're going to talk to people. He may visit another town or two, and you know, in due time. I wouldn't think he's signed yet, but he'll be. I would think that Lucic would be one of the very first guys out of the gate at noon Eastern on July 1st. No,
Spec. It's interesting. You know, I've got him obviously high in my list. I mean, you've got Lucic, Okposo, Ladd, Erickson in that, you know, whatever order there. They're all. And Lucic brings a different element. He's won. He's tough. He's, you know, the wheels are. You're always a little nervous about the wheels. But I talked to a scout last year and said, yeah, his wheels look. He looks a little slower, but I don't see him miss many foot races. I don't see him lose many foot races. I see him still getting there really good. But Spec, scary for the Oilers, where they desperately are in need of a couple defensemen, and it is as bad a year for defensemen as you could ever imagine, with Goligoski coming off that list. Demers, to me, is the prize. Is that hard to believe that he's the prize?
Well, so the trick becomes, don't just because he's the best defenseman in a bad crop, you can't pay him. You know, he's a second pairing defenseman all day long.
Right.
Right? Never going to be a number two. He's never going to be there. So don't pay him like a number two.
So,
like, this is where, and you were a GM, Doug, and this is where the GMs have frankly failed horribly, is restraining themselves and not paying the best guy in the crop like he's the best guy in the league. There's a difference. You can't give Demers first pairing money. If you do, I think it's foolish.
I said it last year on our July 1st show last year. I didn't like the Sequeira deal. I didn't like it. I thought it was crazy.
Didn't like it either.
I didn't like it. I thought it was a bad deal. And it's a similar scenario, Mark, in that I understand where Peter's coming from, and I understand why you do it. I did it. I did it with Luke Richardson. I signed he and Scott Lachance 1 year because I was desperate for defensemen. Luke ended up being a good signing. Scott, not so much. But it's the same ball of wax again, Scott.
Well, general managers have said historically over the years, and you know, sadly, a lot of them never learn from it, but that on July 1st, the one position that they typically overpay or average players is defense because of that panic threshold.
And it's, Spec, it's so thin this year on that back end, you know, for defense, availability of defense.
So, Spec, if a Lucic comes in, for instance, if they are able to make that deal happen, do they have to finally move somebody out up front?
Oh, no question. You know, they remember that they didn't. The other asset that they got that they weren't counting on getting was at the draft with Jesse Puljujarvi.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, he's ready to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he moved, I mean, let's face it, if he's going to play in the NHL, he's probably going to be a top six forward here, you know, first or second line right wing, assuming he can play. So all of a sudden, let's say you sign Lucic, you're bringing in two top six guys. So there's a, you got to move somebody out. There's no question. Cap wise, there's just not room in your top six for all these guys. So, you know, I'm going to say this, you guys, because we've all agreed here that the free agent crop is poor. Maybe you'll have better luck in the trade market. Maybe if I'm Edmonton, I certainly can trade a first round pick next year because I think I've had enough high picks lately. And if I'm going to package a first round pick and I'm going to package him with one of those Hall, Eberle, Nugent, Hopkins type of guys, if I can find a defenseman in the free agent market and I can make that trade, I'm not saying I'm bringing in Pronger and Niedermeyer here, but coming off a Stanley Cup in which Pittsburgh's defense wasn't exactly a bunch of world beaters, I think if I'm the Oilers, I can add two guys that can play. My forward ranks are beefed up, and I probably, if I'm Shirelli, I look in the mirror and go, you know, I had probably a pretty decent summer here. Is that fair?
Yeah. Mark Spector, you're joining Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Hockey Central. I want to ask you about these different guys. What happens, the fact that guys come out, are you able to ever, is there any kind of case study, the fact they actually come and physically visit with a team, how much it does or doesn't enhance your chances? Because they only have a few spots they can really go to. So when Lucic and Demers are in town, how much impact do you think that is in deciding if they sign there or not?
Well, it's a good point. And I think that, you know, when you're, it depends who you are and what you're selling. You know, for instance, the Oilers have a brand new rink that I haven't even been inside of yet that they toured yesterday. That means a little something. Not everything, because there's lots of nice rinks. But, you know, if I can bring these guys in and show them, which by all reports is state-of-the-art, maybe the nicest rink in the league till they build the next one, that can't hurt. I think that, and we've all heard the impassioned pleas out of Edmonton about how they're going to get better for a long time now, right?
12 years.
This is not a new story. But I think that if you can bring them in here and you sit them down with Pete Chiarelli and you kind of look at the whiteboard and you look at the players they've got, you look at McDavid, you look at what they look like up the left side, they're a much bigger team now. I think physically being in Edmonton, there's a lot of things that get dispelled about Edmonton when you walk in here on a nice, like I'm looking out the window, it's a 27-degree day, the sky's blue, the trees are green, it's absolutely beautiful here. And we're not going to talk about what the weather's like in January, right? I'm going to take him to a patio and pour him a cold beer and say, you know, it's not a bad town. So I think when you're Edmonton, it's more important to have a site visit than when you're, say, Montreal or Toronto. I think it means more to the Oilers to try to dispel some of the myths and the negative myths about this town.
Do they ask why everybody's windshields cracked when they drive from house place to place? Listen,
I was going
to
say, and when he looks at the whiteboard, he asks, "Where's Quick? Where's Doughty?
Spec? How does?" Listen, let's not kid ourselves. The Minnesota Wild, with Koivu at number two centerman, a good number two centerman, but that's, in my opinion, that's what he is today. Coyle has got to move from the wing to center because they're missing somebody. How do they make Nugent Hopkins to Minnesota work? Everybody talks Brodin's struggle. We all thought Brodin 2 years ago was going to be a superstar. Dropped off this year. Dumba. I mean, how do they make this work that both teams get what they need here?
Well, it's an excellent question. At the draft, by all accounts, they had a deal or a pending conversation, Dumba for Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And Pete Chiarelli said, that's not enough for me. I need something else. You got to sweeten this deal. And Chuck Fletcher was unwilling to do so. So, you know, and looking at the two players, I think that's fair. If I was Chiarelli, I'd have probably asked for a little more, too. So, there has to be a way. Detroit is in desperate need of centermen. Yeah. Minnesota absolutely needs a centerman. They could make great use of a 23-year-old kid like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins up the middle. Are you kidding? And they have a couple defensemen. Anaheim's got way too many guys. Their blue line, you know, they got eight defensemen there for a six-man roster. So there's got to be. I know we just went through the trade, gentlemen, and we all expected blockbusters that never materialized, but there's direct needs out there that have to get filled. I think Pete Chiarelli, he's a grinder, And I think this is the process we're watching. I think we're watching him grind for a deal that he can consider fair.
Well, and it may be a case, sorry, Gordon, that we talked about it earlier, that it's a deal, depending on which forward they try to move, that is dependent on the free agent dominoes falling, who signs where.
Absolutely.
But the intriguing thing is there's a couple of teams, and we just mentioned them, that may not make the playoffs if they don't get the right centerman. That's why, to me, Detroit, they've got to make something happen here.
I want to ask Beck as well on sportsnet.ca. We chatted earlier about Seth Jones being a potential target for an offer sheet. He, of course, signs a six-year deal to stay with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I know you just have out about the interesting Jacob Trouba saga, because defensemen are coveted, and all of a sudden a thought of mine that the Boston Bruins, could that be a reality, go after him?
Well, it was reported yesterday by Joe Haggerty at CNN in Boston that the Bruins were considering an offer sheet. But, you know, I'm sort of fleshing that out in a piece today for Sportsnet.ca, and frankly, it's a fascinating deal. The Bruins don't have second and third draft picks.
They can't do it.
So the only way, Doug, they can do it is to come up with the highest possible offer that involves a compensation of four first-round picks, which they do have.
And who in their right mind would pay four firsts for Jacob Trouba? Like, somebody would have to be out of their marbles.
Well, if you're finishing in...
Four first-round picks.
It depends if they're 25 to 30 versus... like they benefited by Brian Burke.
I don't care if they're four first-round picks. You've got to be out of your mind to do that for Jacob Trouba. Out of your mind to do that for him.
I agree. So I guess the question also, because it's two things for me. If you can promise me that Jacob Trouba is going to walk into that elite group of sort of maybe 15 genuine number one defensemen in the game of hockey today, I'm going to consider it, because those guys are impossible to get. But the other thing to me is, if let's say someone came along and offered you four first-round picks, and you're Winnipeg with the expansion draft coming up in a year, and a scouting staff that knows exactly what they're doing, and I might just take those four first-round picks for Jacob Trouba. Would you?
I guess so.
But the salary has to be $9.3 million.
I know.
It's actually $7 million. It's an AAV trick with how they calculate AAV for offer sheets.
Okay, but Joe Haggerty's a credible guy, so that's what's giving the story legs, you know. And there was talk, Doug. There were people going to go after Dougie Hamilton last year as an RFA, which was one reason about the trade. So, but if the Boston Bruins staff evaluate him that way, Doug, that's what you pay your guys for.
Okay, so you've got Hamilton reputation a year ago before he went to
Calgary.
And you got Trouba's reputation today. Who had the bigger, better reputation a year ago? Would it not be very comparable?
Both guys had poor years last year.
What?
Right. Both guys had lousy seasons last year.
That's what I mean.
Hamilton and Trouba's stock took a dip last season.
I can't believe somebody would pay four firsts. With Boston where they are, what they're trying to accomplish there, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. And I know Joe is a good hockey writer. I get all that. I'm not buying it. Sorry. If they had the picks to do it, then I would say maybe. But it doesn't. Winnipeg's going to match.
So all in all, obviously, a quick last one about the draft you mentioned. I would think they're happy who went number four overall. I think Calgary's been happy for a few years now who's landed in their lap as far as the draft went. So a good day for both Alberta teams.
Hey, boys, when all the Canadian teams miss the playoffs, the only good thing is everybody leaves the draft happy.
Yeah, seven of the first 11. Of the first 11
I think
picks.
All the Canadian teams got a pretty good player, but I think they paid dearly for him. Is that not the case here?
Yeah. What are you hearing on the Stamkos front from your end?
Isn't it intriguing the way... I know Stamkos' name is lined up a little in Vancouver, but I'm not paying a lot of attention there. It's intriguing to me the way Lucic has become a Western phenomenon and Stamkos is an Eastern phenomenon, and it seems like never the twain shall meet. I know that Detroit's been mentioned in the Lucic affair here, but it doesn't, you know, they're way down the list. So, you know, I'm hearing what you're hearing. I'm hearing that little corridor down there, Buffalo, Toronto, Detroit with Montreal on the outside, and I guess... I can't see him going back to Tampa at this point. I think it would have to be done already. So
Doug's thrown Arizona in the mix.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I guess that would be the one Western team. So It is funny, though. It seems like one guy's out east and one guy's out west, and I'd be surprised if that changed on when we open up the doors here on noon Eastern July 1st.
Well, and of course, Mark Spector, a universal phenomenon, so that's good. You transcend those guys, and of course, read his article, sportsnet.ca, and he'll be talking about the Jacob Trouba situation a little bit more. Hey, thanks, as always. Appreciate it, Spec.
All right, love boys, those. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I love those cutting rip jobs on Twitter. Keep it up.
Mark Spector joining us from Sportsnet. Yeah.
He cut out.
He cut out.
So he's one of the best with the little dig?
Yeah, he's very good.
Okay.
Very good with some really good little jabs. You know?
Well, they're tired of jabbing in Edmonton. I know. They get some pretty candid guys there, and it's been a tough go the last few years. So we'll see what goes there as far as Milan Lucic and others. Of course, we'll have all the coverage wall-to-wall here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan as well. Be back with more Hockey Central. Gord Stellick, Scott Morris, and Doug McLean. You're listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, watching on Sportsnet and the NHL Network.
Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Hockey Central. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Scott Morris, and Doug McLean. You're listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, watching on the Sportsnet or the NHL Network. Thanks very much, Mark Spector, joining us. Of course, you can catch his work at sportsnet.ca, talking about Milan Lucic, Jason Demers in town to take a tour, and a few other things that are going on. He's also talking about reports that the Boston Bruins may be preparing to make an offer sheet to Jacob Trouba of the Winnipeg Jets. So before we had Spec on, you brought up an interesting guy, Doug, and Eric Staal. Like, he just all these other free agents and a guy that came and won a Stanley Cup instantaneously pretty well that everyone seems to think is 41 years old. But is that not because of his play, just because he's been around forever, but is 31 and what you might get and what you might get him for?
Well, I think he's – look, I know it didn't go great in New York at the end, but Eric Staal was a great player. You've got to believe that he's going to bounce back. And if you got him at the right price versus paying through the nose, number one, there's hardly a centerman available anyway in the free agency. I mean, it's a really thin list. Franz Nielsen, Backes, you mentioned. Backes plays both the wing and center. Very few centermen available. So does a guy, you know, I saw Ricky Kern quote it the other day that there's half a dozen teams that have touched base with him on him, and he really wants to play center. I think it's an intriguing guy. If I'm Minnesota and you could play him with a Parise, or you could play him with a Coil, or you could play him with some pretty good talent they have, I think it's a pretty good gamble instead of paying through the nose for a young guy. It might be a way to bide your way through for a couple of years.
How do you feel he played with the Rangers?
Not good. Yeah. Not great. And
Does that make you nervous?
Not really. I mean, I still think there's enough pride and enough character and enough talent there that he could bounce back. You know, disappointed with the Rangers. I didn't think it was good, you know, how it ended. But I still think there's enough there in the tank that if somebody gets him and puts him with the right people, Eric Staal could be a good bet.
You were talking a few other teams. It is incredible how hard it is to get a number one center. Huh. Like there's so many teams lacking a true number one center that at 31, to roll the dice on something short term, if that's what – I have no idea what the market is that way – I would think that's a guy who's done it almost from day number one. So team hasn't played well of late. You get rejuvenated, you get motivated, and there's a lot of gas left in the tank.
And then you say, okay, the Edmonton with Nugent Hopkins, Connor McDavid, Draisaitl. I mean, how set are they down the middle of the ice? So there's an opportunity. Somebody has got to figure out how to get one of those centermen from the Edmonton Oilers. They've got to find a way.
But I think, getting back to Staal, I think I agree with Doug that I think there's still something in the tank there. But to your point, Gord, it has to come down to the proper term and the proper number on the bottom line. You can't be overpaying and giving too much term there because that could be very, very risky.
And knowing Staal, Ricky Kern has always been a really fair guy to do deals
with. Straight shooter.
Quite a few deals with Ricky in my time. The big one I did with him was when we got Adam Foote to come to Columbus as a free agent. And Ricky's a deal maker. So I think And I also think Eric Staal gets it. Mm-hmm. He's made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I think he gets it. I think he wants to prove that he can still play. So hopefully it works out for somebody. So, you know,
still play and win.
But I mean, and you look out there, you say Backes, really good number two. Not a number one for me, but a real good number two. Franz Nielsen, real good number two. But how many teams have two number twos? That's the way you have to go because of the limited number of number one centermen.
Well, I can remember.
But I mean, if you're, okay, sorry, Gord, but if you're Minnesota, do you trade for Stepan or do you sign Eric Staal as a free agent?
I'd sign Eric Staal as a free agent.
That's what I'd do.
If I'm then. I just think, and again, it comes down to the term and what have you. But
an asset you have to give up.
But that's a perfect example. I know you've talked about the Wild, about always lacking that number one center. Just like David Poile said, they acquired Ryan Johansson, and the moment they acquired him, they had never, never had a number one center in Nashville like Ryan Johansson. They just don't fall off trees.
I gave David a shot there on TV the night it was happening. I said, he was on with us. I said, you know, when Brian Murray and I were in Washington, Mike Ridley was our number one centerman. Now, we love Mike Ridley, David. I mean, we love Mike Ridley. Anyway, in David, I just actually talked to David last week, and David's reiterated getting that big guy down the middle. Yeah, he didn't want to give up Seth Jones, but he's got such a good depth on his back end position with the emergence of Ellis and the European kids and Yossi. That he was in that luck, like Edmonton's in right now at center ice. Very similar situation. And, Johansson's got to have a big summer and bounce back for them.
You know, it is interesting to go back to your Patrick Division time with David. Now, you had mostly gone that, but it was true. They had Eric Lindros in Philadelphia, Mary Lemieux in Pittsburgh, Mark Messier in New York, and they were lacking the center. And, you know, that's when you were there and after you were there. And I think it's one of the things that, you know, and they were lacking, their goaltending just didn't come up in the playoffs as well. But pretty good team that way. And it's funny, all those years, whether it's his Washington team or his Nashville team, that's something they really have never had.
And great regular season teams, but not successful in the playoffs.
And
maybe because of that.
To think about the blue line that the Washington Capitals had, and we laughed, Brian Murray and I and David actually chuckled about it. We had Rod Langway, Scott Stevens, Kevin Hatcher as our, and Larry Murphy. That was our four defensemen. How good a back end was that? Grant Ledyard came in and Callie Johansson. That was a trade. Grant left and Callie came in. I mean, pretty good group of five defensemen. So interesting how it goes.
You had a bunch of guys got 20 goals from the blue line. I afraid he came later and that Hatcher, all those guys, for the Washington Capitals. Some of the other guys going, you know, Andrew Ladd. Like, what is time in Chicago help him or not help him or change anything one iota if you're looking at him as a free agent?
Well, it wasn't the sense that moving Shaw might allow them the flexibility to keep him in Chicago. So we'll see how that plays out. But I don't think it's time in Chicago hurt him by any stretch.
I think Nashville could be a fit for Andrew Ladd. I really do. I think you say, okay, they got a taste of it last year. They got tough, hard-fought series against San Jose. They beat Anaheim. They really believe they're ready to take a step. You got Forsberg done. Do you take a chance to put a lad in your top six with the talent that they have there? I see him as a fit for a team. Like, Andrew Ladd can play for any team. He can play for any team. It's the 6x6 that bothers you. That's what bothers you.
Well, how do you see this year playing out, Doug? Because when you think back to last year, and it, because of the salary cap being flat and everything else, some guys seemed to, they hit the pay dirt. But there was a lot of guys waited a long time last year and didn't get term.
Yeah.
We had more guys on PTOs than we've seen before. Do you see it being a similar kind of scenario this year?
Listen to the GMs say there are a lot of them are nervous about putting the six number out.
Yeah.
They really are. Think back last summer, guy that waited a few days, Joel Ward, ended up being one of the better signings. Mm-hmm. Doug Wilson came in. I know Vancouver and San Jose may have battled for Joel at the end. Joel Ward comes in a little bit late, and it's a heck of a deal. And he's in the four range, you know. But the six number is driving guys crazy. There's no doubt about it.
You know, the other part, Scott, you talk about, and I know you mentioned it earlier, so free at last. Being a free agent, this is not a happy time. For every player that's excited about it, there's one or two that aren't. Because as you mentioned, when or three or four.
Maybe 100.
Or 100. But when it, because when it drops, when it drops, there's no middle ground. There's no middle class. It's like society. There's no middle class.
And last year was like no other.
Yeah. And
you know, you got a couple of big paydays, and then a lot of guys waited it out.
Okay. So, like, are you going to be, if you're a GM and you give 6x6 to Lucic, Okposo, Ladd, Erickson, Backes, are you happy or are you nervous? You're happy to have him in your lineup. Then you're saying, well, maybe I won't be the GM here in 4 years anyway if I don't get this done. So I'll let the next guy worry about it.
Yeah, no, you're happy if you got the right guy of those six, whichever may be the better
and
one.
And you know what? They're young. Lucic is 28. Okposo's 28. Ladd's 30. Erickson's 30. Boniker's 26. Backes and Nielsen both 32. You know?
But that's what's supposed to happen in 2005. That was exactly the model we thought was going to happen and really hadn't until now. And that's why when there were just a couple of free agents each year, they could make off like Jack the Bear. Yeah.
Well, and you look at some of the names on that list and you big body guys who play a bruising game that you can turn a corner real quick if the body quits on you.
And then you say, okay, who's going to do the bargain hunting? I heard an interesting name yesterday, like Kyle Quincy. Thin group of defense.
Mm-hmm.
A Babcock history. Does a Quincy slide in with a young Toronto team as a veteran type of guy at a really reasonable price? So there's going to be some really good bargains out there as well.
Well, Matt Hunwick last year.
That's right.
How about that? Got more minutes than anybody for most of the season from Mike Babcock.
So, you know, you're going to find some real good bargains too. Now, you know, Quincy, hey, he's played okay in Detroit and maybe he's a fit because of his history with Babcock, and you know, you need a little veteran presence with some of these kids, you know. So it'll be fun to watch the lesser free agents get picked as well.
Also got some RFAs coming up, Johnny Goodrow, and what's the figure you're hearing there for Johnny Hockey?
Oof.
Seth Jones, of course, I don't know how it impacts it or not, but just that kind of deal.
Well, it's got to impact because they're comparables. They're not a forward versus a defenseman, but that's where the number should be for me. It should be in that range. But you got Monahan and Goodrow at once.
Are they the same deal?
I think they're really close. And I mean, Brad Treliving has got his work cut out for him with these deals. They're not easy. They're not easy deals to get done. And they're both his franchise type guys. So they've got to get them done. They will get them done. But it's a bit of a scary one too,
and Boone Jenner signed a bit of a bridge, right? He signed a 2-year deal, so I don't know, doesn't sound like either of these guys want to do the PK Subban Nazem Kadri 2-year bridge.
I don't see the bridge for either.
Or do the teams want to give them?
And when they're your best players on your team,
you got to go all in.
You got to go all in with them. You got to get them done, and they'll pay. And you know what?
They'll get a return on it too.
They're both real good young players, and they're the core. That's who Brian Burke and Brad want to build around, you know, with their good solid blue line. So they got to figure it out. So hopefully they get it done, and it's a fair deal.
And they can always trade them too. Not that you want to, but that those contracts at that age have that safeguard, like they did with Carter, you know, and Richards.
Totally.
Just that kind of. I'm not saying you sign them to trade them, but that does.
No, but it gives you an option down the road. You're not totally tied.
Yeah. Calgary, with missing the playoffs and the seasons they both had, they've got to get them done. And they will. They will.
So you're here when the clock strikes 12 on Friday, is that right?
Yeah.
Right at this desk?
I'm here tomorrow again at Hockey Central at noon with Millard and Kyprios. I guess they're going to show up. Why aren't they here today?
They're doing research.
Oh, okay.
Is what I understand.
Oh, okay. And
Scott's always...
I've been hearing research a lot lately, that name being used a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing.
That's assignment. Good. I'm excited. I mean, obviously, when there's a name like Stamkos, and you got to...
Yeah. That's the biggest name ever.
The top 10, 12, 40, even a guy like Brouwer, where is 30 years of age? So I think there's some intriguing guys there. Defense is scary.
Okay,
when Lovejoy's your number 5 defenseman... Although he won a Stanley Cup and played real well.
Probably the best and youngest group maybe ever.
Of course, Scott, all your connections are going to come through. We count down to Friday. Hockey Central, Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean on Sportsnet, the NHL Network, and Sportsnet 590, The Fan.